Now, God puts his hand down upon this nation. He didn't go and put his finger down on the king. He could have, and he did have a great deal to say about it. But here, that's not the place. And then he didn't put his finger down on the moral awfulness that there was in the nation. He could have. He put his finger down on that which was spiritual. Will you listen? He says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, they've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There was moral awfulness, but that's not his charge. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it's desolate as overthrown by strangers. That's verse 7. And here you see political anarchy. But God is just stating a fact. He's not bringing a charge here. But listen to him now. "The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." In other words, if there hadn't been a faithful remnant, God would have destroyed the nation as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. But there's always been a remnant among those people that have been for God. There's a remnant today. And I don't think you find them back in Israel, although there's some lovely Christians back there. But they really are not even big enough to be a remnant. But there is throughout the world. Now, listen to him. He's now calling again to hear the word of the Lord. This is verse 10. "Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" Now he's spelling it out. The whole problem was religious apostasy. They were coming and bringing sacrifices. He says that. "I'm full of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of your fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" The problem was in the temple, you see, and it was a spiritual problem. Now, they went through the form and the ritual, but their heart was far from God, and it didn't affect their conduct. Now, friends, that today is the problem in the church. That's the problem among believers today. A great many of us have reached the place where we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Now he says to these people, "Bring no more vain oblations," that is, empty sacrifices. "Incense is an abomination unto me, and the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting." God says even that which he gave becomes wrong when the heart is not in it and it doesn't affect the conduct. "And when ye spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you." He says, this is verse 15. "Yea, when ye make many prayers, I'll not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." God says that you're nothing in the world but a bunch of phonies. You come into my presence as if you're real and genuine. You go through the sacrifices, but they become absolutely meaningless. Now, may I say to you, God now has a charge against them, and he's been spelling it out. And there's no question, no question at all about it. Now, the problem was there, which was spiritual, a religious apostasy for these people. It had led to moral awfulness, and it had led to political anarchy in the nation. But their trouble was here. Now God has called them into court. He's proved his charge against them. Now what's he going to do? I tell you, the prisoner stands at the bar waiting for the sentence of judgment. And God now could move in and judge them. But will you listen to him? even at this late moment, God says to them, settle your case out of court. God says, don't go into court with me because you're going to lose. You're bound to lose.